Well, I hope that you came here today, not just because you have to, but because you wanted to, because you know that I believe this is where God wants you this morning. For whatever reason you're here today, I think this is where God told you to be. So today, as we think about our new sermon series that we're going to start today, I entitled it Back to the Basics, and whenever I choose a sermon series title or something that I want to do for a few weeks, I always go to the internet, you know, and I find a picture, and I don't know why I still have the coming on September 7th, because it is September 7th, and we're going to start this series, and I want it to be a series for all of us, not just for maybe young Christians or people that may not know Jesus. I want this to be either a sermon series that lets you know what the basics are, or reminds you of the basics, because I think sometimes as older, mature Christians, sometimes we let the basics go, and sometimes we're not as intentional about our relationship with God as we need to be. We kind of take things for granted. And today we're going to be talking about grace. And one of the things that we never want to take for granted is God's grace. Amen? It is the reason why we're here. Without it, meeting on Sunday morning would just be for a social event. And it would not be because we have a hope that Jesus gives us. So as we begin this sermon series, let's all stand and let's raise our Bibles. We're going to be reading out of Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to see what Paul had to tell the Ephesians as they were just learning to be followers of Christ. Let's say our creed together. This is my Bible. I believe that this is the infallible Word of God. I will put its principles to practice in my life each day that I live. Because I read this Bible as the Word of God, I will never leave this place the same. In Jesus' name, amen. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul is speaking or writing to a very young church. And he says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore, remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the human body's hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of that promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you chose to send your one and only Son to die for us so that we could be brought near to you. It's no accident that any of us are here today, Father. You said that your Spirit draws us. And I thank you for your care, for the fact that you loved us so much, that not only did you send your Son, but that you, in your grace, offered it to all of us. Help us to understand the fundamental value of the grace in which you give. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know the exact year the song was written. I don't know where he was at, but a man named John Newton wrote a song called Amazing Grace. Last week we ended our service by singing Amazing Grace. And if you don't know John Newton's story, you might just think that it's a nice, pretty song that he wrote and we've sung for the last probably 300 years. But when you realize that John Newton was the captain of a slave boat and he had brought many slaves to America and England both, and at some point he met Jesus, and he sat down one night and he began to write a song that said, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And John Newton came to the realization at some point just where he stood with God and kind of his social standing with men. While his job paid well, it was a terrible job to have. I can't imagine what he saw on his voyages back from Africa to the States or to Great Britain. He saw a lot of suffering, horrible death, and he realized that he was the cause of a lot of it. And he had a part in all of that. And yet, he realized that at the point, that the time that he wrote the song, he was in a relationship with the God that created the world, and that God loved him because of his grace. And he felt like that was amazing. And so he wrote the song Amazing Grace. And today we're going to talk about the amazing grace. But first we're going to talk about why God would do that for us. Have you ever wondered why God loved you enough, loved me enough, loved the world enough, that he would send his one and only son to die for you, to die for me? Again, I think when we make it personal, it really starts to work on us. If you ask yourself, why do I think God would send Jesus to die for me? You begin to go, I can't imagine why he would do that. I'm not worth that. I remember, and I've said this before, but I will never forget the first time I saw The Passion of the Christ. And as I was going through this, through the crucifixion and all the stuff that went along with it, I came to the conclusion, and I remember myself saying to myself in that moment, I'm not worth this. I'm not worth Jesus going through that for me. But the Bible tells me that God loved me so much that he was willing to give his only son, and Jesus was willing to go to the cross for me and for all of us. And the Bible says in this passage, as Paul is talking to the Ephesians, as he's telling them that they were dead in their transgressions. They were people who were born with a sinful nature, who had been living sinful lives. And he said, we all were the same just like you, the Jews and the Gentiles. He says, like the rest, we were deserving of wrath. But because God loved us, because of his great love, not just, I love you. But the Bible says he had great love for us. The word great is not used a whole lot in the Bible. But I can remember one other instance in the Bible where it was very much used. And you have to go to the King James Version of the Bible to read it this way, though. Mary was great with child. Okay? When you are with child and you are about ready to deliver, you are almost ready to explode, pop, whatever you want to call it, you know? I mean, my daughter right now is about 3 weeks from having her baby, and she's like, I want this to happen now. She is expecting it, and she's expecting the after. She wants to go through the process, but she's really expecting to see her son, as we all are. That's the kind of love that God has for us, an expectant love. He can't wait till someone accepts his gift of salvation. He can't wait till somebody realizes how amazing His grace is for them. And the Bible tells us He's great in love, and He's also rich in mercy. Mercy is unmerited favor. Mercy is getting what you don't deserve, because if we realize who we are, if we realize how we've lived in the past, our, quote, BC, before Christ's life, if we understand what we've done, we don't deserve to go to heaven. We deserve hell because we have not served God. But because of God's amazing grace, we have the opportunity to accept Jesus as our personal Savior and then have the right, the Bible tells us, to become the sons and daughters of God. And that's what God created mankind for. When He put Adam and Eve in the garden, He did it because He wanted to create a being who would love Him because He was their creator, because He was a great God. And Satan deceived Adam and Eve, and then sin entered the world. And then God came up with the plan of sending Jesus because He had great love and mercy for us. And for us, that's amazing news, that there's a way to come to God. And the cool part about it is that God's grace is not earned. None of us, not the best of you in this room. Who wants to say you're the best in this room? No, nobody does, right? None of us feel that way. But there's times in our lives when Satan will go, well, you're not that bad. You don't need a Savior. And yet we need to come to the realization that we do. And when we do, and we decide we want to get right with God, it's not something that we have to earn. It's not something that we have to figure out how to get better. I think of an old video that I have shown the teens when we used to have teen nights, and it was of a person fishing, and they caught a fish fillet. Okay? The church is not about catching fillets. It's about catching smelly fish that need a Savior, that need change. And you don't have to clean up your life before you come to church. You don't have to clean up your act, if you will, before you get saved. We don't deserve it. Definitely don't deserve it. And we shouldn't take it for granted. And this is kind of that place where I think as followers of Christ, you know, we start to understand that God loves us so much, and that 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and He's just, and He'll forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so sometimes in our walk with God and in our walk on this earth, we'll be confronted with temptations, and Satan will say stuff like, well, it's okay, you can go ahead and do it, just ask God to forgive you. Because we know that God's got a lot of grace. And Paul says in the book of Romans, should we continue to sin just so we can prove that God has a lot of grace? And emphatically, he says no. That's not how we live our lives. And yet, in the next chapter, he says, I know what I should do, and I don't do that, and I know what I shouldn't do, and that's the stuff I do. And so we have this constant battle. But the grace of God is what keeps us in a right relationship with Jesus. That we can realize that, yes, we're human beings, that we will make mistakes, that we will sin even after we become a child of God. But the Holy Spirit will convict us. And even though we don't deserve to be forgiven, He still will if we repent, because He loves us. And we are saved by His grace, not by works, the Bible tells us. Our salvation is a gift. When you think about how you were saved, if you think about your life before Jesus and you think, when was the time that I decided to follow Jesus? We used to use and sometimes we still do. I shouldn't say we used to. But there's this tool, if you will, called the Sinner's Prayer. And it's a prayer that says, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I believe that you came to this earth to die for me. And I want to confess that I need your forgiveness. And I want you to come and live in my heart. Now, it kind of went something like that, not verbatim. But you ask Jesus to come into your heart. But that's not the only way that you can get saved. John Wesley talks about the time when he got saved. He was at a meeting room on the street of Aldersgate, and he said that as the preacher was speaking, he felt his heart strangely warm. And that was the day that he was, I'm going to start following Jesus. And it was not just the methods of following Christ. It was, I really want a relationship with Jesus. Because John Wesley was raised in a Christian home, went to church every Sunday, became a missionary, went to Georgia, came back from the missionary journey that he went on, and about a year later, he got saved. Think about that process. You were raised in a Christian home. You went to be a missionary to tell people about God, to tell people about Jesus. But it wasn't until after that experience that he really found Christ and really saw the amazing grace that God could give him. It's a gift. And when you're given the gift of salvation, it's free. Again, the Bible says right here in this passage, it's by grace you're saved, not of works, lest anybody should boast. You can't say, I did all the right things and that's why I'm saved. The only thing you need to do to get saved is to admit that you're a sinner and tell Jesus that you love him and that you want to follow him because he gave his life for you. And if he was willing to die for you, you want to live for him. And that's what we need to do. And so our job, if you will, after we're saved, is to take care of our relationship with Jesus. It's to follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit, to do the things that Jesus would do if he were walking on this earth right now, to think about the way that he would talk to his employees or fellow workers or to the kids that he teaches or to the people that you oversee. It's to think about how he would react, and this is always the easy one, when that guy pulls out in front of you. You know, how would Jesus react when somebody thinks they need your spot in a parking lot, you know, and you were waiting? What kind of choice words do you think Jesus would have for that person, right? So you have to kind of think about stuff like that. It's how are you going to live? Because once we are saved by God's amazing grace, we have to start extending grace ourselves. We learn from the Master. We're supposed to be imitators of the one who we're trying to follow. And as we think about the basics today, I just want you to kind of think about your own life. And I want you to ask yourself, do people that I work with, do people that I associate with, based on my conversations I have with them, based on my actions, do they know I'm a Christian? Do they know that I'm a follower of Jesus? Because we can read our Bibles in private every day. We can have our devotions with God in the mornings and start our day with Him. We can sing the songs. We can listen to Christian music all day long. But if we're not showing Christ in the way that we live, we've gotten away from the basics. Because the basic is, when Jesus called his disciples, he didn't say, go get the scripture and start reading them, go start doing this and start doing that. He simply said, follow me. And when he said that, he was viewed as a rabbi, and they knew that their next few years were going to be following and imitating someone who they saw value in. And if we love Jesus because he loved us, we need to keep doing that. And so your application this morning is simply this. Our response to God's gift is the proof of whether we're living for Jesus or not. And it's really, really basic, because we're supposed to act like Jesus. Amen? Now, we're going to get into a few of the other basics in the next 3 or 4 weeks. There are going to be things like reading our Bible and praying and sharing the gospel and trying to become the people that God wants us to become. But we have to start here so we can go to the next step. Because the next step doesn't mean anything if you haven't experienced Jesus' amazing grace. Let's stand this morning. Father, I ask today that you would help each one in this room to just take a little bit of time this week and give ourselves an examination, if you will. Help us to see if we're living our lives the way that you want us to. Help us to listen to the Holy Spirit as he possibly identifies things in our lives that we need to work on, so that we can become the fully devoted followers of Christ that we want to be today. Lord, I pray that you would help us to just know that we have a Savior, and that you love us, and that all we have to do is ask, and you'll come into our hearts. And if there's anyone here that hasn't done that, I pray that they would do that today. And let us help them begin their walk with Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.